We finished the 121 types of consciousness. Now, before going to the second chapter, let us go through the first chapter again, looking at the chart. If you cannot see the chart there, then look at the chart you already have. They are the same. So it is very important that you are thoroughly familiar with 121 types of consciousness, or thoroughly familiar with this chart. It will be the basis for the other chapters. So we'll refer to this chart again and again and again. And so it is good that you are familiar with the chart. So you look at the chart, and now you see 121 types of consciousness. And then, okay, now let us mark the columns so that I can talk from here and you know what column I'm talking about. So the first column, number one, and then the other three, number 2, 3, 4, and then 5, 6, 7, and then 8, 9, 10, and then 11, 12, 13, and then 14, 15, 16, 17, and then 18, 19, 20, 21. Now, 121 types of consciousness are broadly divided into mundane and supramundane. So how many are mundane consciousness? 81. So column 1, 2, column 13. So they are called mundane consciousness. And the other, the remaining columns 14 to 21 are supramundane consciousness. Now, among the mundane consciousness, what are the sense sphere consciousness or karma vachara consciousness? Columns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes. Altogether, how many? 54, right? Now, among them, which are the akusala, I mean, unwholesome jetas? Column number one, yes. And then, what are the rootless jetas? Column number 2, 3, 4. And then the next group, beautiful sense sphere consciousness, columns 5, 6, and 7. So there are 12 unwholesome jetas, 18 rootless jetas, and 24, right? 24 beautiful sense sphere consciousness. Very good. Among 12 akusala jetas, how many are with lobha? 8, right? The first 8. And how many are with dosa? 2. 2 green dots. And how many are with moha? 2. The last 2. But actually, moha is with all 12 types of consciousness. So we should say lobha and moha, dosa and moha only. But when we say lobha, we mean moha also. And when we say dosa, we mean moha also. Okay, then these are the 12, types of unwholesome consciousness. The next group is what? Rootless consciousness. How many are there? 18. And how are they subdivided? Into three. So the first column number 2, what are they? Resultant of unwholesome, right? Akusala vipaka. And then column number 3, resultant of wholesome, kusala vipaka. And column number 4, functional, kiriya, right? Yes. So, the column number 2 again, the first one is what consciousness? I consciousness. Second, it's easy, yeah? And the third, nose. The fourth, tongue. And the cross, 5, body, right? So, in the akusala vibhaga, the bodily consciousness is pleasant or unpleasant? Unpleasant. And then the next one is what? Receiving, right? Receiving. And then the last one? Investigating. Now column number 3. What are they? Kusala vibhaga, right? So the first is eye consciousness, second, ear, third, nose, fourth, tongue, and the cross, body consciousness. And here, pleasant. And then the next one is receiving. And then the next red one, investigating. And the last one, investigating. So there are two investigating consciousnesses in among the 8 consciousness, which are the result of wholesome karma. And then the last column number 4, there are 3 types of consciousness. What is the first one? 5 sense door adverting. And the second one, mind door adverting. And the third one, smile producing. Now we'll go to next group. So column number 5, 6, and 7. They are called beautiful sense sphere consciousness. Column number 5 is what? Kusala or vibhaga or kriya? Kusala. So there are 8 wholesome, beautiful sense sphere consciousness. 4 are accompanied by pleasant feeling, and the other 4 by indifferent feeling. And column number 6, what are they? Resultant. So beautiful sense sphere, resultant consciousness. They are also 8. 4 accompanied by pleasant feeling, and before by indifferent feeling. Then the column number 7, functional, kiriya consciousness. Again, there are 8, 4 accompanied by pleasant feeling and 4 accompanied by indifferent feeling. So altogether, 24. So 12 plus 18 plus 24, we get 54. So these 54 are called karma vajra cittas, sense fear consciousness, right? The next group, column numbers 8, 9, and 10. What are they? Rupa vajra, right? Yeah. Fine material, or let's just say form sphere consciousness. The first 5 are wholesome, and the second 5, column 9, resultant, and column 10, functional. Okay. Now look across. The first three, what are they? What jhanas? First jhana three, and then the second jhana three, third jhana three, fourth jhana three, and fifth jhana three. Right. Next group, columns 11, 12, and 13. What are they? Formless sphere consciousness. The first column, column number 11 is kusala, right? And 12, vipaka, and 13, kriya, or functional. And what jhana are they? No, what? First, second, third, fourth, fifth. What jhana are they? Fifth. So all 12 belong to fifth jhana. They are accompanied by two jhana factors. Okay. Now, form sphere consciousness and formless sphere consciousness. 15 and 12 altogether. 27. They are collectively called what? Mahaggata. Mahaggata chetas. So there are 27 Mahaggata chetas. How many are first jhana? Three. Second jhana? Three. Third jhana? Three. Fourth jhana? Three. And fifth jhana? 15. Yes, very good. So altogether we get 81 types of mundane consciousness. Now, let's do a little difficult thing. The first column, akusala, right? How many jhanas belong to an enlightened person? First column. All 12, right? How many belong to Sotapanna? Seven, right? Yeah. A consciousness accompanied by doubt, and consciousness accompanied by wrong view. So four accompanied by wrong view and one accompanied by doubt. So they do not belong to Sotapanna. So only seven belong to Sotapanna, right? Then how many belong to Sakadagamis? The same seven. How many belong to Anagamis? Five. What two do you take out? Yeah. Two green dots, right? Anagamis eradicate dosa altogether. So they do not belong to anagamis. And how many belong to arahants? None. Good. Okay. Now, columns 2, 3, and 4. Columns 2. Do they belong to arahants? Can they arise in the minds of arahants? Yes, right? And then column 3 also? Yes, because arahants can see both ugly and beautiful objects, right? They can hear both ugly and beautiful sound and so on. So they experience all. And then column 4, there are three types of consciousness, right? So they can belong to both arahants and non-arahant people. But there is one which is peculiar to arahants and Buddhas only. And what is that? The red one, smile-producing consciousness. Good. Then column number 5, who do they belong to? ordinary people. Huh? Not only ordinary people. Sotapannas, Sakadagamis, Anagamis. Let's say non-Arahant people and Arahant people. Huh? So column 5 belong to both, to non-Arahant people. Okay. What about column 6? Both, right. To both non-Arahant and Arahant people. And then number 7? Arahant only. Okay. Column 8? Non-Arahant or Arahant? Non-Arahant. And column 9? Both. Both. And column 10? Arahant only. Right. The same with column 11, 12, and 13. Very good. It's a little difficult. Okay. Now we go to supramundane consciousness. There are 8 or 40 supramundane consciousness. When we say there are 8, we take column 14 to be just one. Sotapatti Magga, right? Path of the stream entrant. And column 14, one Cheda. 15, one Cheda. 16, one Cheda. 17, one Cheda, and so on. So when we say there are 89 types of consciousness, we take those 5 as one Cheda, one Cheda, one Cheda. And so there are 89. But when we say there are 121 or 40 supramundane consciousness, then we take just one each. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and fifth jhana. So, how many path consciousness are there? Magga consciousness. Among 40 Lokottara Chetas. 20, right? There are 40 Lokottara Chetas, 20 are path consciousness, and the other 20, fruit consciousness. Yes. And among 20 Magga consciousness, the first column is Sotapatti Magga, right? And then column number 15, Sakadagami Magga. And 16, Anagami Magga. And 17, Arahatta Magga, right? And number 18, Sotapatti Phala, fruit. And number 19, Sakadagami fruit or phala. And number 20, Anagami fruit. And number 21, Arahata Phala. So altogether we get 440 supramundane consciousness. So when we add 40 to 81, we get 121 types of consciousness. Now, how many of them, let us say there are 89 types of consciousness. Okay. Among 89 types of consciousness, how many are akusala? 12. How many are akusala? Do you tell by column? 21. Which columns? 5? Column 5? Not 6. 8? 11, right? Yeah. They are kusala. How many are vipaka? 2? 3? 6? 9, 12, right? And actually, from Lokottara, 4. And how many kiriya? Column 4, column 7, column 10, and column 13, right? So they are kriya. There is no kriya in supramundane consciousness, right? Yeah. Why? Why is there no kriya consciousness among supramundane consciousness? You remember? Yeah, because path consciousness arises only once. Right. Now, if we take 121 types of consciousness, then how many kusala chaitas are there? Five, eight, 11, 20. Right? Five, column 5, column 8, column 11, and column 14, 15, 16, 17. Altogether, that is 7. And how many vipaka chaitas are there? Column 2, column 3, column 6, column 9, column 12, and then 18, 19, 20, 21, 52. Then how many are accompanied by Somanasa? all the red dots, right? How many accompanied by upeka, blue dots? How many by domanasa, green dots? And how many by dukkha, red cross? And how many by sukha, green cross? Huh? No, I'm sorry. How many by dukkha? A green cross. How many by sukha? Red cross. Okay, very good. So, we get altogether 121 types of consciousness. Now, we use the circles only here, but there is another chart with triangles and others, right? Akusala is represented by triangles, and then vibhaga are represented by circles, and kriya by squares, and then kusala by, I don't know what to call this, square, but, diamond, yes. So, you may use any of these. What is important is to know, to identify which is which, whichever chart you use. So, we come to the end of the first chapter. Now we will go to the second chapter, which is the chapter on Chetasikas. Now you remember that there are four ultimate truths, right? What is the first ultimate truth? Chitta. Second, Chetasika. Third, Rupa. And fourth, Nibbana. Now we finished the first ultimate truth. Now we go to the second ultimate truth, which is Chetasika. I have told you the definition of Chetasika, right? Chetasika means what? Those that arise with Chitta, or those that arise depending on Chitta. So those mental states which arise depending on Chitta are called Chetasikas. So in the word Chetasika, Chetas means mind or Chitta, and Ika means depending on or something like that. So Chetas Ika, Chetasika means those which depend on Chitta for their arising. That means only when there is Chitta can there be Chetasikas. Chetasikas can arise only when there is Chitta consciousness. And chetas and chetasikas arise together, right? But cheta is said to be their what? Forerunner, their leader. Because cheta means awareness of the object. If there is no awareness of the object, there can be no contact with the object, there can be no experience of the object, there can be no perceiving of the object. That is why cheta is said to be forerunner. Cheta is said to be the chief among these mental states, although they arise simultaneously at the same time. And these chetasikas are those that, let's say, that give color to chetas. Actually, cheta is one. Cheta is one as the awareness of object. But different chetasikas arise together with cheta. And when it arises together with, say, beautiful chetasikas, then the cheta is called a beautiful cheta. When cheta arises with unwholesome chetasikas, then it is called an unwholesome cheta, unwholesome consciousness. So actually, it is the chetasikas that differentiate one type of consciousness from another. And there are characteristics of these chetasikas given in the manual. So I want you to look at the manual. Second chapter, page 77. One is arising together with consciousness. That is one characteristic. And two, ceasing together with consciousness, disappearing together with consciousness. Number three, having the same object as consciousness. And number four, having the same base as consciousness. So these are called the four characteristics of chetasikas. If a state must be chetasika, it must have these four characteristics. Now the first one, arising together with consciousness. So chetasika must arise simultaneously with the cheta. Now, chetas and chetasikas exist for only three moments, right? Three sub-moments. Arising, continuing, and disappearing. So they arise together. So those that arise together with chetas are called chetasika. So a chetasika must arise together with cheta. But that is not enough, because material properties also arise at the same time as cheta. Some material properties, for example, those caused by cheta and also those caused by karma, they arise at the same time with cheta. So the first characteristic is not enough to prevent the others from being called chetasikas. So the second characteristic is put here, ceasing together with consciousness. That means disappearing at the same time as consciousness. Now, material properties are said to last how many thought moments? 17 thought moments. They may arise together with cheta, but they do not cease together with cheta, right? They stay on until the 17th thought moment. So, when this second characteristic is put here, then we know that those material properties are not chetasikas. So, in order to leave those material properties out, the second characteristic is given. So a chetasika must arise together with cheta and cease together with cheta. Still, that is not enough. You'll understand it after you study the sixth chapter. So I always tell you, Abhidhamma is like a jigsaw puzzle, right? Until you put in the last piece, the picture is always imperfect. So if you don't understand some explanations, don't worry. Later, after the sixth chapter, you'll understand. Nobody has to tell you at that time. So there are some, actually, two material properties called bodily intimation and vocal intimation. That means by gestures, we let other people know our desire, right? When I use this gesture, you know that I'm calling you, right? That is in the United States, not in Burma. In Burma, it is different. We use this one. So please come like this. So that is bodily intimation. And now I'm talking and you are listening to me, right? So my talking is called the vocal intimation. Now it is said that bodily intimation and vocal intimation arise and cease together with citta. They do not last for 17 thought moments, like other material properties. So they last for as long as one thought moment. So it is not enough just having the first two characteristics. So we have the third one. What? Having the same object as consciousness. That means take the object, the same object as consciousness. Now these bodily intimation and vocal intimation belong to material properties, material qualities. Since they are material qualities, they are objects. But they do not take objects. They are not conscious of the object. They are not cognizing. So, when we say having the same object as consciousness or taking the same object as consciousness, we prevent those two from being called cetasikas. So in order to leave these two bodily intimation and vocal intimation from being called cetasika, we have the third characteristic. What about the fourth? And there is nothing more to prevent from being called cetasikas. But cetas and cetasikas, when they arise in, say, five aggregate existences, they always have the same base. Now, base here means the eye, the ear, the nose, tongue, body, and heart. So these are called bases of consciousness. Consciousness always depends on one of these bases to arise. For example, seeing consciousness depends on the eye to arise, right? If we do not have the eye, we do not see, and so there is no seeing consciousness. If we do not have the ear, we do not hear, so there is no hearing consciousness, and so on. So, when consciousness arises in five aggregate realms, five aggregate existence, like in human beings, they always have the base. And cetas and cetasikas must have the same base. If ceta depends on the, let's say, on the eye, then cetasikas must also depend on the eye. So they have the same base as consciousness. So these four are called the characteristics of or marks of cetasikas. So in order for a state to be called cetasikas, it must answer these four conditions. So what is the first one? Arising together with citta. The second one, ceasing together with citta. The third one, having the same object as citta. And the fourth one, having the same base as Jada. So such states are called Jetasikas. And there are how many Jetasikas? You all know that. 52 Jetasikas. And these 52 Jetasikas are given in this manual systematically. The order given in this manual and the order we find in Abhidhamma books and also in Visuddhimagga are different. But I think the order here is better because it groups Chetasikas by how many Chetas they arise and so on. So these Chetasikas are mentioned in the first book of Abhidhamma. And then there is a commentary on that book. And also these Chetasikas are mentioned in Visuddhimagga. So you may, if you want to read more, you may read Visuddhimagga or the commentary to Abhidhamma, which is called in English Expositor. But I think in this manual also it's considerable information is given here. So I think it's enough if you read this manual. But if you want to read more, then you may read those books. And the handouts today, in the handouts today, I give the paragraph numbers and chapter numbers of different Chetasikas. Okay then. So you have the 52 Chetasikas or mental factors, that chart, right? So actually, this is just to save you some work so that I did it. Because the chart on page 79 is actually the same as the handout. But there are no Pali words there. I want you to study along with Pali words. And first I thought that I was going to tell you just write the Pali words in the book. But many of you may find it difficult to do that. Or you may not even do that. So for your easy study, I made this. So I want you to learn both English and Pali. Now, the 52 Chetasikas are divided into groups. And so the first group is called in Pali, Anya Samana, right? You say it. Anya Samana. There are 13 of them. No, these Anya Samanas are translated in the manual as ethically variables. That means they can be with kusala or they can be with akusala, they can be with result and chetas, and so also they are variable. And then the next group is down there, akusala. 14. You are familiar with akusala. So unwholesome chetasikas, 14. And then the next group is sobhana chetasikas, beautiful mental factors. They are 25. So the first division is anya samana, or variables, ethically variables, 13. Akusala, 14, and sobhana, 25. Now, why are they called in Pali anya samana? ethically variable is not the translation of the word anyasamana. Anya means the other, and samana means to be common. So anyasamana means common with the other. What does it mean, common with the other? Since they are variables, they are common with both kusala and, actually, agusala, not only kusala and agusala, vibhaga and kriya also. So when they arise with kusala, they are common to akusala and others. They can, not at the same moment, but they can be with akusala also. And when they are with akusala, they can be with kusala at some other time. So they are called common to others. That means they are common to both. So the bhikkhu body uses the word ethically variable for this. So anything that can go with both can be called anyasamana. If you can be with this person and the other person, then you may be called an anyasamana person. You can go with both persons. And so there are altogether 13 of them, anyasamana, or ethically variables. That means when they are with kusala, they have the quality of kusala, right? When they are with akusala, they have the quality of akusala. Yeah. So they can vary. What is determining is the akusala and sovanas. Okay. Now, anyasamana 13 are subdivided into two groups. Now, the first group is called in Pali sabba citta sadharana. Sabha means all, citta means consciousness, sadharana means common. So sabba citta sadharana means all consciousness common to all consciousness. Now, they are translated as universals. So since they are universals, then since they are common to all cittas, they will arise with every citta, right? Whatever citta arises, they will arise with it. So they are the essential mental properties of, cognition. Essential mental properties of cognizing an object. And so there are altogether 7 of them. So these 7 are called universals. They will arise with every type of consciousness. And they are, in Pali, 1, Passa, 2, Vedana, 3, Sanya, 4, Chedana, 5, Ekagada, 6, Jivitendriya, 7, Manasikara. Okay, now Passa. What is Passa? Contact. Now, contact here means not physical contact. It is, mental contact. When some object comes into the avenue of the senses, the eyes or ears or whatever, there is the awareness of the object. And then there is the vivid experience of that object. And that is what is called passa, contact. It is impinging on the object, or the object impinges on the mind. So, although the word passa or touch, passa means touching. So, although the word touch is used, the touch is not physical but mental. Although we do not touch physically, We are always touched by something, right? We see something happening there, and then we are afraid, or we are happy, or we are sad, or something like that. So pasa is like that. And this pasa or contact is evident. Say, when we see someone eating, say, sour fruit, so you have saliva in your mouth, so that is caused by pasa. And you may have gone to a circus, right? When they are walking on the rope, you have some fluttering in your heart, right? In your chest. So that is caused by pasa. And sometimes, when you are very afraid, you are paralyzed. You cannot do anything. You are like a cripple. So that is also caused by pasa. Now, in my younger days, I lived in Zakang Hills. It is a religious sanctuary. Only monks and nuns live there. It's a hill, and so there are trees and a small thicket of forest, and there are leopards. So at night, the leopards would come down, say, to drink water in the river. And then when the dogs got the smell of the leopard, they didn't move at all. They became very, very easy prey to the leopards to pick up. So that is pasa. So they are paralyzed. So pasa is like that. Although there is no physical touch, physical contact, there is this mental contact that causes fear or trembling or something like that. So if you are a person who is too much afraid of ghosts, then you may see something in the dark and you think it is a ghost and you may be trembling. So all these are the manifestations of pasa or contact. So whenever there an object comes into the avenue of the senses, there is always this contact or pasa. Now, when we study these mental states, the commentaries give us the four aspects of each mental state. So, and these four, out of these four aspects, the three can be seen during meditation. If you have good concentration, and if you watch them, you will come to see these aspects. And it is good to understand these four, although you may not remember all of them. So they are in the manual on page 29. They are called four defining devices by means of which it can be delimited. So they are: one, characteristic; two, function; three, what is three? Manifestation; and four, proximate cause. So it is good if we can understand these four aspects of each mental property, like pasa, vedana, and so on. And commentaries always give these four the defining devices, or four the aspects of each mental state. So the first one is called characteristic, or the mark. By this mark, we know it is pasa. By this mark, we know it is vedana, and so on. So that mark is called lakkhana in Pali. And it is what? The salient quality of the phenomenon. It is its individual characteristic or individual essence. And then there is what is called rasa in Pali. Rasa means, directly translated, rasa means what? Taste, right? Yeah. So the taste of that mental state. And rasa is said to be of two kinds, actually. One is kicca, its function. And the other is achievement of the goal. That means some kind of result. So there are two kinds of rasas. Kicca, a function, and in Pali, sampatti, achievement. And then number three, manifestation. There are two. Now, pachupatthana means, yes, manifestation to the mind of a yogi. So when a meditator contemplates on, say, passa, or watches passa, then he will see how passa appears to his mind, how passa manifests to his mind. So that manifestation is called in Pali pachupatthana here. And also the result is called pachupatthana. So there are two kinds of pachupatthanas: mode of manifestation or the result. And then number four is proximate cause. So what is the near cause of, say, passa and so on? So these four, almost for all Chetasikas, these four are given in the expositor as well as in Visuddhimagga. And in this manual also, they are given. So it would be good for you to read those. Now look at the passa on page 78. In terms of the fourfold defining device used in the Pali commentaries, contact has the characteristic of touching. And that is not physical touching, actually. And its function is impingement, as it causes consciousness and the object to impinge, say, to come together, I mean, to touch together. Its manifestation is the concurrence of consciousness, sense faculty, and object. It manifests itself to the mind of the yogi as the coming together of the three. Now, let us say seeing consciousness, right? Now, there is the eye and there is the visible object. When the visible object comes into the avenue of the eye, there is seeing consciousness. When these three arise, passa also arises. So passa is something like the concurrence of coming together of these three. And then its proximate cause is an objective field that has come into focus. That means an object that comes into focus of the sense faculty, the something which comes into the avenue of the eye, which comes in front of our eyes. So if a visible object does not come into the avenue of our eyes, we do not see. Say, the statues and my back. Right now, they do not come into the avenue of my eyes, and so I don't see them, and so I have no seeing consciousness. So, passa is... has a touching or, yeah, touching. Touching or contact as characteristic. And its function is impingement. Its manifestation is the concurrence of the three. And its proximate cause is the object. Because there, if there is no object, there can be no contact with the object, no pasa. Okay, the second one is what? Vedana. You are very familiar with Vedana. So Vedana is what? Feeling. And feeling is mental factor here. It is not physical. There may be pain as a physical thing. And the experience of that pain is what we call feeling. So feeling is actually not in your body, in your physical body, but in your mind. So that mental factor, which experiences the object, either pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, is called vedana or feeling. Now, it is said that other mental factors also experience the object, also feel the object. But it is vedana that that experience the object to the full extent. That is why feeling alone is called vedana and not other mental factors. So other mental factors have also some kind of feeling of the object. But their feeling of the object is minimal. But vedana experiences the taste of object fully, and so it is called feeling or vedana. So vedana is compared to a king enjoying fully the food offered to him by the cook. And other mental factors are compared to that cook. Now, the cook must cook dishes for the king, and then he must take the food to the king, and then he must taste a little of the food to make sure that there is no poison or whatever in the food. So he has to take a little of it. So his experience or his enjoyment of food is minimal, negligible. It is the king who sits down and then enjoys the food as much as he likes. So in the same way, it is vedana, it is feeling that experiences, I do not want to use the word enjoy, because enjoy is for pleasant things only, but here it is for unpleasant things also. So let me use experience. So vedana is that which experiences to the full extent the object. And you find here also, what is the characteristic? Feeling is said to have the characteristic of being felt. I think that is not quite not quite right. He was deceived by the word vedijida in Pali. Vedijida can be passive, or it can be active. So here it is used in the active sense, but he took it to be passive. So the characteristic is not being felt, but feeling. Feeling is the characteristic of vedana, or experiencing the object is the characteristic of vedana, not being felt. And its function is experiencing, or its function is to enjoy the desirable aspect of the object. That means, if the feeling is a pleasant feeling. If it is unpleasant feeling, then its function is to experience the undesirable aspect of the object and so on. And its manifestation is the relishing of the associated mental factors. It arises with other mental factors. And so it gives something like a taste to other mental factors. And its proximate cause is tranquility, I mean sukha. And that is for good vedana only, right? For dukkha, feeling, it may be different. Let me see. Tranquility here means samadhi. Right. It is meant for sukha vedana. But if it is dukkha vedana, it may be other thing. So you will find the different characteristics and others of these five different feelings in Visuddhimagga. Okay, the next one is sanya. Sanya is translated as perception. The characteristic of perception is the perceiving the qualities of the object. Its function is to make a sign as a condition for perceiving again that this is the same. Now, perception is actually making marks. When you experience an object, your mind makes a mark of it, so that when you experience it again, you know it is the one you experienced. So it is compared to carpenters making marks on timber, so that they know where to put which piece. Say this is for the top, or this is for the bottom, or something like that. So making a mark. So making a mark is for the sake of recognizing it when they come across it later. So sanya is like that, making a mark, making a note. It can be correct or it can be wrong sanya. Sometimes we have wrong sanya, right? So when sanya is wrong, we get wrong notions and we get wrong views about it. So it's very important that we have correct sanya. We have wrong sanya about ourselves. So we think there is something like a person, something like a soul or something like that. So that sanya makes us believe that there is a soul, there is a person, something like that. And once sanya has made a mark that it is this or it is that, then it will interpret the object by way of that feature. So later when it sees it, it will interpret in that way. So once you have a wrong sanya, you will interpret basing on that wrong sanya. So its function is recognizing what has been previously perceived. It becomes manifest at the interpreting of the object by way of features that has been apprehended. So if the apprehended thing is correct, we get correct sanya, and if we don't have that one, then we have a wrong sanya. Its proximate cause is the object as it appears. So the object as it appears to us, appears to sanya, is its proximate cause. Animals think that a scarecrow is a human being, right? So when they see the scarecrow, they just run away because they thought it was a human being. So that is their wrong sanya, their wrong apprehension. So its procedure is compared to a carpenter's recognition of certain kinds of wood by the mark he has made on it. So sanya is like that. So making marks. And recognizing it later is also a function of sanya. The next one is cetana. You are very familiar with cetana also. Right? Not? Yes. Cetana is karma. So you are very familiar with karma, right? So cetana is translated as volition. It's difficult to explain in English. So it is concerned with the actualization of a goal, that is the cognitive or volitional aspect of cognition. Now cetana organizes the associated mental factors to act upon the object. It engages the co-arising mental state with the object. So it is something like that push that helps or that push other mental factors to be engaged on the object. So this jitana is compared to a chief bugle. A chief bugle learns himself and also helps other bugles to learn. He himself learns and also he helps others, he urges others to learn. So jitana is the same way. It makes others engaged onto the object and it also is engaged on the object. Volition is the most significant mental factor in generating karma. Actually, volition is karma. Buddha once said, right? Cetanaham bhikkhu kammang vadami. Monks, I call cetana karma. So what I call karma is simply cetana. So cetana is actually karma. And this karma determines the ethical quality of the action. That means if it is a good karma, then it is a good action. If it is a bad karma, it is a bad action. So depending on the quality of cetana, we determine whether a consciousness is kusala or akusala. And this cetana is called by other names also, right? So it is called karma, right? And then it is called sankhara, and dependent origination. So sometimes karma is called sankhara. I mean, cetana is called sankhara. Sometimes it is called karma. So that means the same thing. The next one is ekagata. Have you met ekagata before? Definitely, yes. Huh? It is one of the five jhana factors, right? And another name for ekagata is samadhi, concentration. So concentration and ekagata are the same. This is the unification of the mind on its object. Now, ekagata directly means, eka means one, right? Aga means object. So having one object. That means being on one object. Now, this ekagata becomes prominent in the jhanas. Now, it can be developed into the factor of jhana. That means very strong ekagata, strong concentration. But as it is a universal cetasika, that means it is, as it arises with every type of consciousness, sometimes we are not concentrated, right? We are doing akusala, maybe. So there's no concentration. But actually there is this ekagata, one-pointedness of mind, going along with every type of consciousness. So for the mind, I mean for the citta, to be engaged with object, ekagata is also necessary. It may be very, very weak ekagata, but still there must be ekagata. So it accompanies every type of consciousness. So there is a kind of one-pointedness in every type of consciousness. And it has non-wandering or non-distraction as its characteristics. That means it is not distracted to any other object. And its function is to conglomerate or unite the associated states. Now, it is compared to water. it keeps together the grains of flour. Now, when you make a dough, you have flour, and then you put water onto it, and you, what do you call, you knead it, and so it becomes dough. And so when it becomes dough, then all the particles of the flour are kept together, or like a soap. So, like water, I mean moisture in the soap. So its function is to conglomerate, to unite associated states, to keep associated states, to keep mental states that arise together, together. So that is its function. And it is manifested as peace. That means tranquility or something like that. To be still, something like that. Now, it is compared to a flame in a place where there is no wind, no drought. What do you call it? Draft or drought? Draft. Draft. Oh, thank you. So, where there is no draft, that means just like in this room. It's a flame of the candle. So it's still and it doesn't move. It doesn't shake when there is no wind. So one-pointedness is compared to that flame where there is no draft. So it stays there. And now, it is important to understand this, that ekagata, when we talk about samadhi, we say samadhi is the something like an ability of the mind to be on the object, right? To stay on the object for a certain period of time or something like that. But actually, mind disappears after 3 sub-moments, and one-pointedness also disappears after 3 sub-moments. So, although we say there is concentration, mind and the concentration do not last for more than these 3 moments. But what is meant here is like that flame. Now, when you look at the flame, you think that the flame is always the same. But actually, at every moment, the flame is not the same. So, in the same way, when we say this mind is on the object for a long time, that means the consciousness, the same kind of type of consciousness arises again and again and again on the object. And that object is also changing. Say, if that object is a physical object, material object, then that object also changes after every 17 thought moment, right? So, when we we have samadhi or our mind is on the object for a long time, that does not mean that chitta lasts for a long time. It is the nature of chitta to arise and disappear in just 3 sub-moments. But next chitta arises, and then it dwells on the same object or the same kind of object, and then another moment of chitta or the one-pointedness, and then another similar type of object. So in this way, we must understand concentration. So it is like a flame where there is no draft. Okay, next one. Jivitindriya, mental life faculty. Jivita means life. Indriya means faculty. So it is called life faculty. And there are 2 life faculties. One is material and the other mental. So here, mental life faculty is meant, not physical. Physical life faculty we will find in the 6th chapter. So this is mental. It has the characteristic of maintaining the associated mental states. That means associated mental states arise, right? And then they continue for some time and they disappear. So when they are going through these three phases of existence, life faculty keeps them alive. Life faculty does not let them disappear until they reach the third final stage. So it is just maintaining the mental state, not causing them to arise. Now, the function of making them ogre means the same thing. Not that mental life faculty produces associated states. So making them ogre means making them go on until the end of their lives. That is just a very, very brief three sub-moments. Manifestation as the establishing of their presence. And its proximate cause is the mental states to be maintained. Now, mental life faculty is compared to what? You remember? I think I've told you about this. No? I've been talking to different people, and so I don't remember to whom I have talked. It is compared to water in the lotus stalk. The water in the lotus stalk keeps the lotus alive. And also it is compared to a boatman. That is because there is a question. If life faculty maintains the other associated mental states, what maintains it? See, if you help others, who help you? Something like that. And so the answer is, it maintains itself along with other mental states. And so it is compared to a boatman. So a boatman rows the boat and takes the people to the other shore. And when taking other people to the other shore, he also takes himself. So in the same way, the mental life faculty maintains itself while maintaining other mental states, other associated mental states. So there are two similes. One is the water in the lotus stalk, and the other is a boatman. And last one is called manasikara. Now, manasi means in the mind, and kara means making. So the literal translation is making in the mind, and that is attention. So this attention is responsible for the mind's advertence to the object. That means it turns the mind to the object. It keeps the mind directed towards the object. That is its function. That is what we call attention. So its characteristic is the conducting sarana of the associated mental states towards the object. So channeling or turning the mental states towards the object. Attention is like the rudder of a ship, which directs it to its destination. So when there is no attention, your mind has no aim. It goes here and there, like a boat without a rudder. So when there is a rudder, then you can direct the boat where you want to go. So in the same way, when there is attention, then the mental state of attention keeps the mind going towards the object. There is a difference between this and vitaka, right? Yeah, here. So manasikara should be distinguished from vitaka. While the former, that means while manasikara turns its concomitants towards the object, vitaka applies them onto the object. It's very subtle. It's very amazing that Buddha could differentiate these mental states, right? First, it is difficult to know there is vitaka, there is manasikara. And it is more difficult to know how they function arising at the same time, how they have different functions arising at the same time. So here, manasikara and vitaka arise at the same time, but they have different functions, a very subtle difference between them. One directs the mind to the object, and the other put it on the object, right? Mounts it on the object. So these two are actually different. So manasikara, manasikara turns its concomitants towards the object, and vitaka applies them onto the object. Manasikara is an indispensable cognitive factor present in all states of consciousness. So it is. If there is no manasikara, there will be no object. Our minds cannot be on the object. So manasikara turns our mind to the object, this object, that object, and so our mind can take that object. Vitaka is a specialized factor which is not indispensable to cognition. That means some types of consciousness can arise without vitaka. So later on we will study this. Say, how many types of consciousness arise with vitaka? Only 55 out of 121. So there are other types of consciousness which can take the object without the help of vitaka. But without the help of manasikara, there can be no citta that can take the object. So manasikara is an indispensable cognitive factor present in all states of consciousness. But vitaka is not. It is a specialized factor which is not indispensable to cognition. So that is why there are many types of consciousness which do not need vitaka to take them to the object. So we'll study them later on. So these are the seven mental factors or seven cittacittas that are universals, that are common to all types of 121 consciousness. So with each type of consciousness, they will arise. Later on, we will study how many cittacittas arise with a given citta. And these seven will always be there with all the cittas. Okay. So now today we learn the seven universals. I want you to say the Pali again. Passa, right? Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Ekagada, Jivitindriyang, Manasikara. Once again, Passa, Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Ekagada, Jivitindriya, Manasikara. One more. Passa, Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Ekagada, Jivitindriya, Manasikara. If you do not have manasikara, you cannot say pasa, virna, and so on. Right? Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah. For some minutes.
I have a question. And then when you say Buddha say chetana is karma, is that chetana is karma or karma is chetana?
I think
because the Arahant still had chetana, but no.
Oh. That's right. Yeah. Now, karma is defined, actually, karma is chetana that accompanies kusala and akusala chetas. Now, chetana, as you know now, chetana accompanies every type of consciousness. For example, chetana that accompanies resultant consciousness is not called karma. Right? So, chetana that accompanies kusala and akusa only are called karma. So, in that case, there is a difference. And in Patthana, there are two kinds of karma. One is cognizant karma, and the other is, it's called asynchronous karma. That means karma of different time. So there are two kinds of karma. Cognizant karma means this chetana with every type of consciousness. So when chetana is with, let's say, akusala consciousness, it may be asynchronous, it may be karma of which belongs to different time, or it may be cognizant karma. But when it accompanies vibhaga chetas, it cannot be karma of different time. It can only be karma of cognizance. You don't understand? Okay, now, there are two kinds of karma condition in Patthana. One is cognizant karma condition, and the other is, let us say, different time, right? Different time karma condition. Different time means you do karma here, and the result will be in the future life. So they belong to different time. So, say, together karma and different time karma. So, when chetana accompanies akusala cheta, it can be both, together as well as different time, because it is really karma there. But if when chetana accompanies, like, seeing consciousness,